You may search the ocean, you might go across the deep blue sea, but mama, you'll never find another hot shot like me. I followed my baby from the station to the train, and the blues came down like dark night showers of rain. I left her at the station, wringing her hands and crying. I told her she had a home just as long as I got mine.
All right, everybody, it's the Brian and Vinny Show here. It's June 12th, 2013, here at figure4online.com/WrestlingObserver.com. What would I have thought on June 12, 1975? Somebody told me that I'd make it to 2013.
Probably would have thought, feed me. Seeing as how that was the day you
put
were born.
Back.
Yes, put me back in.
It's cold out here. Bright. That's right, everybody. It's my birthday today. 38 years old.
Woo.
That's right. I ain't, what's the word? I have no shame. I'll promote my own birthday. I'll send out the address if you'd like to send gifts. P.O. Box 426, Woodinville, Washington, 98072. Like I sent out the address for Christmas presents.
That's right.
Anybody that knows me knows that my birthday is all month long. All of June is my birthday. If you'd like to send me a gift next week, man, you got plenty of time. It's only the 12th. I got another, however many days that is, 22? Something 18?
Like, yeah, whatever.
18 days left. 18 days left to celebrate the month of my birth. The wonderful month of June. And sitting in front of me as we speak, slightly to the left, if we're going to be specific here, 9:30 on the clock, there is a gift that I have been commanded to open on the show. However, since, of course, this is a wrestling show, that's going to be the main event. Everybody's going to have to wait to see what I was given for my birthday, apparently by Hialeah, according to the address right here. There actually is there's a thing they've attached to it, like a mailing label. But the return address, he just wrote, open during B&V on Tuesday. So thank God it got to me.
Yes.
Otherwise, whoever lives at B&V on Tuesday was going to have a hell of a birthday, apparently. So I'm going to open that up after the NXT review, which is the semi-main event, believe it or not. And the streak continues. Maybe it was just a bad week. How many times does this have to happen before we just admit that, in fact, NXT is really not that great a show? Because I keep hearing, well, you know, just a bad week. Well, you know, this week wasn't too good. Well, you know, if you'd seen last week's show. Seems I always get the bad show. I don't know what's going on. So we're going to talk about that. NXT. As well as Raw and SmackDown, and then open my present, and all will be well in the world.
So your birthday is the main event?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Just making sure.
What the hell do you think? I'm going to do my birthday as the opener? What do you think I am? A jackass? By the way, everybody.
Yes? No.
The convention is coming up, as everybody is well aware, yeah. If you've read the daily update. They are doing a raffle at the Empire Dinner. If you're not going to the Empire Dinner, or if you are going to Las Vegas, but you're unaware of the Empire Dinner, or if you're going to Las Vegas and you're thinking, you know what? I'll just wait until the day of and then pop in at the Empire Dinner. Don't do that! There's exactly 50 tickets available. I think there's only 5 or 6 left. They're running low. So if you're going to be in Las Vegas over July 4th weekend, and you have any interest whatsoever in our Empire get-together dinner, I'll be there, Vinny's there, Dave's there, numerous members of the Empire, my wife will be there, a lot of great people. If you're interested in attending this Empire dinner, you need to act immediately. Email Ed, F4WFan, at hotmail.com, and let him know you want to be there. He'll give you all the information on how to do it. That's f4wfan@hotmail.com. And I'm telling you, when these last five or six tickets are gone, that's it. You will not be able to say, can I just get one more? Apparently there's 50 and that is it. So if you want to get one, you need to act fast. F4WFan@hotmail.com. At the Empire Dinner, we're going to be doing a raffle. Raffle tickets are $2 each, and there are a number of prizes that will be raffled off. And I'm going to provide some material. I don't know what I'm going to provide. I was asked to provide an autographed book, but in fact, I do not have a single solitary copy of that book here in this house to give away. So that won't be happening. But I'm going to try to provide some memorabilia. Maybe I'll raffle off Vinny. We'll see what happens.
Hey.
But that is the update. So, yes, if you want to be involved in the raffle, you don't have to go, by the way. Senior Hialeah is going to be selling the raffle tickets at $2 a pop. For more information, where to email, that sort of thing, you can email Ed as well, f4wfan@hotmail.com. And if you win, if your raffle ticket gets drawn and you're not there, your prize will be mailed to you. So buy a bunch of raffle tickets and enter the fun. And again, if you want to join us for dinner, you need to act immediately, if not sooner. Because once the 50 tickets are gone, that's it. That is it. So, we'll be talking more about the convention in the coming weeks. We still have 3 or 4 weeks left. So, be ready, everybody. More information is in the Tuesday Daily Update on the front page as well. So, make sure you check that out. All right, it is time for the Raw Report. Let's do that, and then we'll proceed on.
SmackDown, right?
That's what I said, right?
I know you said Raw.
You know what I meant.
Every week I ask what we should do first, and you actually said Raw this week. I thought maybe you would change things up.
Ha ha!
I forgot you fear change.
I don't fear change.
I don't know.
I'm just a man of you know.
Tradition?
Sure.
All right.
I'm a man who, I'm a man with a plan.
Do you have this on paper? Step one, review SmackDown.
It's a plan in my head. It's always the same.
I see.
Do SmackDown, do Raw, call Vince fat.
How dare you?
Bury NXT, say bye.
Well, you've let the cat out of the bag. You've now spoiled every Brian Vinny show we will ever do.
There was a man significantly fatter than you at NXT, by the way, who was given a big hug, I believe, by Alex Riley. This man looked like two of you. This man was, in fact, an eater of worlds.
After, what show was it? I think it may have been the pay-per-view. I forget which show it was, even what company it was, but there was a show in the past month where two guys brawled in the crowd past some of the fattest wrestling fans I've ever seen.
I think it was Impact. They were wearing green fluorescent shirts, if I recall correctly.
I know the guy you're talking about, but there's someone else. Mm. They brawled back, and he couldn't fit in the stands or the chairs.
Fit in the stands?
Yeah.
So he was 10 million pounds?
Well, he couldn't fit any chairs that he had for regular fans.
I see.
So he had to get two folding chairs, put them side by side in front of the barrier, way in the back. And they happen to brawl right in front of him. Oh, it was somebody signed a last man standing match.
Because
I remember I said you should put the guy, the opponent on the ground and put the fat guy on top of him. He'll never get up.
See. That's not a bad idea.
I get good ideas occasionally.
Well, let's get SmackDown going. That's
SmackDown.
A good idea.
Oh, I'll start with SmackDown.
I'm going to open my present.
What do you think it is?
Actually, honest to God, when I saw this box, I figured that when I opened it up, a Jack in the Box would spring out and put a pie in my face. That's honest to God, the first thing, I don't even know why I thought that.
It's not a small box. Much larger than like a shoe box or something.
Could be spring loaded.
Could be.
All I know is my wife got me a present for my birthday. And earlier she'd said, if you could have anything you want for your birthday, what would it be? And of course I said, you, my love. But anyway, I didn't answer the question other than that, because what I was thinking in my head was, you know what I'd really like is I would like an iPad mini, but I'm not going to say that I want an iPad mini because she probably didn't get me an iPad mini. And if she didn't and I say that's all I want, then whatever she got me, she's going to be disappointed. So I just didn't say anything. So there was a gift on the counter, and it was in a box, and I took one look at it, and I was like, that's too small to be an iPad mini. It's got to be like a book. And I opened it up, and it was a fucking iPad mini.
Huh.
That's right.
There you go.
I was so happy. I was so happy on my birthday.
You know, coincidentally, I'm looking at Google here, and over here on the right-hand side, it says Brian Alvarez's birthday, and it says, say happy birthday, and there was a link.
A link?
A link. I'm clicking this. Oh, I want to share on Google Plus.
Who cares about that?
Fuck that.
So the point is, this box here, despite the size, could be a jack-in-the-box with a pie in its hand.
For my birthday, everyone, you can just give me a pie and skip the jack-in-the-box.
All right. Or get him actual jack-in-the-box.
Yeah, the food. That's true. I don't need a clown to pop out and scare me. Just give me a burger and pie. That sounds like a happy birthday. So I watched the SmackDown show, believe it or not. I've been avoiding it for a while. Did a little hype video about what was going to be on the show, including the Chris Jericho versus Curtis Axel match. And in this hype video, the word ass was censored out of the word jackass. Twice! I thought that was ridiculous. So Miz TV opened the show. He brought out Randy Orton and Team Hell No. Crowd loved Daniel Bryan because he is awesome. So the first thing that happened here was that everyone was being very rational and polite and reasonable with each other. And Miz said this will not do. He began to stir the shit and he started insulting Bryan to get him pissed off. Miz, last I checked, is supposed to be a babyface.
Yes.
This is not good babyface behavior. Pissing people off at random. So Bryan snapped, went off on the weak link rant. And finally Orton said you were crazy and I'm starting to lose respect for you. And Kane tried to play peacemaker, but Bryan railed at him. And so Kane blew him off and said, I'm done with you tonight. And Kane left. At this point, Miz announced that Team Hell No had just broken up. He seemed completely indifferent to this. And if anything, seemed pleased with himself for having broken up a successful partnership. Miz is an asshole. So Teddy Long comes out and he says that Bryan has a tag match tonight against Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns. And since Kane doesn't want anything to do with you, you have to team with Randy Orton. And so they are both upset.
On my birthday note, by the way, just wanted to read this from Granny on Facebook. Today is really Bryan's birthday. He has been celebrating since the first. Hope he can do that for two more years before he goes over the hill. Happy birthday, Bryan. I think I love you, but sometimes I'm not so sure. Just kidding. Thanks, Granny!
That was very sweet.
Very sweet. Segment was fine.
Chris Jericho versus Curtis Axel. Paul Heyman was on commentary, and he was, of course, awesome. He's talking about Curtis Axel getting wins over Cena and Hunter. They pointed out these wins were a count out and disqualification. And Heyman talked about Floyd Mayweather. How he doesn't really knock guys out all the time, but he wins all his matches and he's still undefeated. He's not wrong about this. So, have the match. Match is very good. It's Chris Jericho having a match, and if you can't have a good match with Chris Jericho, then it's time to just call it a day. So, Axel was in trouble. He managed to escape the Boston Crab, but he was still fucked, and so Heyman got up on the announce desk. He did CM Punk's pose, tapping at the wrist. He declared it was clobbering time. He pointed to the screen. CM Punk's music hit. Place went nuts. Jericho braced for a fight. And then Axel ran up and schoolboyed him from behind and pinned him. And Punk never showed up. And Jericho was seething on the ramp. And finally he returned and he beat up Axel some more and hit him with his move. Good match.
I was actually fine with him beating up Axel afterwards. It was fine. On paper, it was not fine, but in execution, if that makes any sense, it was fine. I think because at the time, Curtis Axel had nothing to do, and Chris Jericho was facing CM Punk at the pay-per-view, and that was a big match. So I had no problem with him laying the dude out afterwards.
He hit him with his finisher. Happens all the time.
There were a lot of changes, by the way. I watched this show today, and then I watched, obviously, Raw the night before, and man, they were going one direction on this show, and they were going a different direction on Raw.
So you watched the two shows out of order, too?
Yes.
I also did. For
it was funny.
I'm sure entirely
that.
Different reasons. Well, the Orton-Bryan thing by the end was just bizarre. I'd actually forgotten what happened on Raw by the time I finished the show, and when I went back later, I was like, well, this makes no sense.
Well, the first segment was Teddy signing Orton and Bryan versus The Shield, which is now, by the way, a pay-per-view match. Yes. We've already seen it for free.
Correct.
Because at the time, they were going to do Orton versus Bryan at the pay-per-view, and then they changed their mind because, I swear to God, I don't know if this is why they changed their mind, but over the weekend, they decided to do Daniel Bryan versus Randy Orton. And so apparently somebody was like, well, then what do we do with The Shield? And the answer was, we don't know yet. So this was what they figured out. We'll do Orton and Bryan against The Shield. Perhaps forgetting that they just did that on SmackDown. Welcome to WWE, everybody.
Yeah.
When you fill out that application to be a long-term creative head, think again.
Horrible job.
Oh, yeah.
Kane ran into Ryback backstage. Ryback had a giant shit-eating grin on his face. He thought that they might be friends because Kane had walked out on Bryan and Ryback had put Bryan through a table, so they had that in common. Kane said Bryan was still his partner. He talked about what Ryback had done to Daniel Bryan and to Kofi Kingston and basically said, I dare you to try that on me, and Ryback just stood there seething. So he had a match later. For a long time, they did a recap of the Triple H McMahon family angle on Raw. And then they promised, keep that in mind, Hunter versus Axel on Raw, which I guess is technically true, but it made me laugh considering what they said about Raw. Del Rio was supposed to wrestle Heath Slater. Technically never happened. Three-man band beat him up. He fought them all off and tapped Slater out with his move, but then got overwhelmed by the other two guys. And Ricardo had to help, and they all sent them packing, and Alberto teased to dive onto the pile. Then Ricardo waved him off and said, no, wait, I got this. And Ricardo went to the top rope and hit a plancha to the floor onto both men. Place went nuts. Alberto was like, I had no idea my ring announcer was such a badass.
Pretty good dive.
It was a great moment. And then Dolph appeared on the video screen. He announced that he had been medically cleared to compete, and he had vowed to appear on Raw.
There's another one, by the way. He made this big vow to appear on Raw. Yeah. And what did he do on Raw? He came out and sent Big E Langston to the ring.
Yep.
Awesome.
Kane versus the Ryback. I love Ryback's entrance in the ambulance. That was good stuff. This was an excellent mean guy match, including Ryback picking up Kane and press slamming him.
It's pretty impressive.
He's very goddamn strong. I was trying to figure out if this was the first one ever. I cannot find a list of men who have press slammed Kane, but apparently Albert did it one time. I found reference to Big Show pulling it off, and I think Mark Henry did once too, many, many, many years ago. So that was the highlight, but it's not like it was the only thing that happened. It was two big guys waiting on each other, and it was fun. And finally, Ryback powerbombed Kane through a table. I'll say that again. He powerbombed Kane through a table for the DQ. So this is quite a display by the Ryback this evening.
That's a pretty good, pretty decent little match. I don't know if I could say good. It was.
There was nothing wrong with it.
It was, in fact, better than I expected.
Yeah. We then had what I think was my favorite Damian Sandow and Sheamus segment yet.
This was awesome.
Damian claimed that there was no human being who could match his intellect. Therefore, he was challenging a supercomputer.
Said, What's scary is I knew he was going to say Deep Blue. I don't even know how. I was just like, okay, if I wrote this, this is the computer. Yes. And that's what it was.
Yes. So he says, ladies and gentlemen, I present to you Deep Blue. And he gestures towards a computer monitor.
An Acer monitor, by the way.
A great big computer monitor that is showing what appears to be a 1980s Commodore 64 chess program. And he introduces Deep Blue, and Deep Blue can speak.
Yeah.
Had a feminine speak and spell voice.
It sounded like the singing Bush in the Three Amigos, actually.
I suppose. A little more mechanical and a little more electronic. But it began to thank Damian for inviting it to SmackDown, and Damian interrupted it by screaming, silence! We've been saying for weeks now that Damian has the facials of a Muppet character. This bit was probably lifted directly from the Muppet Show.
It's his eyes.
It's the this whole bit in particular, the way it was written, the way it was executed, the pacing, the concept. It was a Muppet Show bit in a wrestling ring, and I am fine with this. In fact, I am happy about this. So Damian said that Deep Blue is the supercomputer that had beaten the unbeatable chess champion Garry Kasparov. But tonight, Damian would beat the unbeatable supercomputer. He said, this may take some time, but it's important that you all see this, so please sit in silence. Damian moved a pawn. At this point, Sheamus interrupted. They really should have given him two or three moves to really have the crowd just booing themselves like crazy.
Beaker interrupted.
Indeed. Beaker interrupted Crazy Harry. So Sheamus said, I can beat this computer in one move. Damian said, I'd like to see you try. And he started ad-libbing stuff about how this, you know, take your time, get going. The show is only 2 hours. And whatever he said, it cracked Sheamus up to the point he had to admit that Damian is very witty. And then finally, Sheamus showed that the one move he had to beat this computer was to brogue kick it.
What a dick.
He kicked the computer monitor off the stand.
A complete dick.
So, okay. We've talked for quite a few weeks now about how Sheamus comes out and he's a dick in every segment. So, after taking a cheap shot and kicking this very expensive computer monitor.
Well, to be fair. If you're going to kick a monitor, kick an Acer.
Sheamus dared Damian to fight. He stood face to face with the man. He got in a fighting stance and said, come at me, bro. So at this point, Damian Sandow punched him in the face.
With the mic.
Oh, if the mic was there. All right. Well, that changes things a little bit. Because what I watched was Sheamus calling a man out and that man defending himself and Michael Cole calling it a cheap shot.
Yeah, a cheap shot.
Well, if he had the mic, there's something cheap about it. He didn't have a weapon. I thought he was fighting a man who had asked him to fight, and Cole called this a cheap shot. So Sandow gave the man an ass whipping. He destroyed Sheamus.
Great!
Yes.
I cheered uproariously.
What he gave him was
Beaker deserved it.
Was I wrote in my notes, this was the beating Sheamus has deserved for months.
Yes.
So Damian whipped his ass, left him lying.
This was historic, by the way. This was the greatest storyline ever. To build up a pre-show match.
It's fair.
I'm not kidding.
I can't
There's
think of a
never
one.
Been a storyline better than this to build up a pre-show match.
Orton met with Brian backstage, told him Kane needed medical attention. Brian said he had never asked Kane to defend him. Tonight, he was on a mission to take out the Shield. He warned Orton to stay out of the way. Fandango versus Zack Ryder with Miz on commentary. Miz's big line here was when he said that if Fandango was on Dancing with the Stars, they would have to rename it Dancing with the Dork. Why is Miz on television?
He sucks Why? At his job.
Why is Miz on TV?
He's no good.
Match was completely competent. And Fandango won with the top rope leg drop. And that was it.
The best was when he said the line about... You'll taste the rainbow all right. Because he's wearing Skittles outfit.
It's worse because he thinks he's funny.
That was so bad. That was like cringeworthy bad.
You know, I can't be too hard on him because you watched NXT and there's somebody worse than
this. No, there's nothing worse than a guy trying to be a tough guy with the line, I'll make you taste the rainbow. Come on.
Miz sucks. I'm not saying Miz doesn't suck.
That's the worst I've ever heard. Oh, yeah? I'll make you taste a rainbow. Oh, really, fool? All right.
You don't fear Miz?
Come make me taste a rainbow. A stupid line.
Natalya met with Caitlyn backstage. Caitlyn said she was going to meet her secret admirer on Raw. Natalya advised her to meet in private instead. Caitlyn got all catty and bitchy, said Natalya should be happy for her. And I know this guy's not a creep because he's texting me. If he was a creep, he'd be texting you. This is a real segment that aired.
Yeah.
I'm recapping here, and it occurred to me just how stupid it was. I mean, it was stupid at the time, but it was like when I say it out loud. It's bad TV. Main event was Rollins and Reigns versus Bryan and Orton. It was, of course, good. And the peak was when Bryan made his comeback at the end. He got both Shield dudes in the ring at the same time and kicked both their ass at once. It was awesome. He got... before this, Bryan tried to dropkick Rollins, but accidentally hit Orton in the face. That's the key point. Then he put the no lock on Rollins, and Dean Ambrose appeared and attacked him for the DQ.
Another DQ!
Another DQ. There's a lot of DQs. And
you know, it probably wouldn't be so bad that every single solitary Shield match ends in a DQ if they weren't wrestling on two shows a week. You know?
That's a good point.
If this was back in the days where there was actually a brand split, and I'm not even saying I want the brand split back because the brand split was useless, but if there was a brand split and you only had to see the Shield wrestling and getting DQ'd once a week, it'd be one thing. But I see, on average, four DQs with the Shield every 2 weeks. That's a lot of DQs.
So, Bryan cleaned house, whipped all their asses, knocked him out of the ring, and was about to hit a dive when Orton grabbed him and blatantly hit an RKO. Now, I know times have changed, and I know Bryan hit Orton first. But back in the day, when one babyface grabbed another and hit him with his finisher out of nowhere, that would be a heel turn. It would be a tease of a heel turn.
It is possible that when they taped this on Tuesday, this was a heel turn, and they have since changed their mind.
It appears that's the case. Okay. That still makes the whole thing come off stupid.
Well, welcome to WWE.
WWE is
a lot of change, a lot of mind changing.
Stupid. So that's how SmackDown ended. Let's keep that in mind. The last thing we saw was Randy Orton, of sound mind and body, making a conscious decision to lay Bryan out with his finisher.
Should note two things. First off, I was skeptical that Fandango had a real concussion, because upon watching his match with Zack Ryder, I have absolutely no idea how he got a concussion. But they took him off all the house shows, so apparently he really did have a concussion. I have absolutely no idea how he got it.
Are you sure he got it in this match?
So they said. Hmm. And then the other note is this new gimmick, which I think, at least, again, ideas change, plans change. But as of last week, the idea was that Lillian would introduce Ricardo in Spanish, who would then introduce Alberto in English, and that's how they're doing it from now on. They have killed this dude's entrance. Back in the day where they'd play the music and then Ricardo in Spanish would do the announcement over the ring music, that was awesome. And it felt like a big-time entrance. Then they changed it to where Ricardo did in Spanish in silence, and then they hit the music, which I thought really took it down a notch. And now, with Ricardo doing the introduction in English in silence, and then them hitting the music, and I just... Could you possibly kill this any worse? Maybe next time Alberto could introduce Ricardo and then they hit the music. I don't know any other way they could make this any worse. Not a fan. Not a fan. Let's get moving. Raw. We've been going a long time already. And I want to open my present.
As technically promised, Triple H wrestled Curtis Axel. About a minute in, Vince came out with his full entrance. He strolled over to the officials, ordered them to ring the fucking bell, had Axel announce the winner via DQ. He strolled to the back, very proud of himself. Hunter went over to the same officials and ordered the match restarted. So, if you're wondering, the power structure in WWE is determined by who is present in the room at the time. Vince returned, named Hunter the winner via forfeit. Hunter went back out, said it was going to be an Iron Man match. Vince came back out. He ordered Axel and Heyman to the back, said they had won, and he took the ring bell and the microphone with him, and he went home. That was the opening segment of Monday Night Raw.
Yeah. Indeed it was.
Backstage, afterwards, Stephanie was crying.
Crying!
You know, the first time this happened, I didn't really think much of Stephanie, good or bad, but they re-aired a recap of this whole deal two or three times throughout the show, and every time they aired it, she got worse and worse and worse. So, yeah, Stephanie was weeping about this. She begged at Triple H not to hurt Vince. Hunter said, fine, I won't kill your father, but you have to go talk to him. He was very upset that Vince had embarrassed him like that. Kane and Dean Ambrose had a fun match. I think the highlight was when Kane, I think it was right before they went to break, but Ambrose came off the apron and Kane punched him in midair. And Ambrose sold this with a glassy-eyed stare from his back. It was just awesome. During this match, they plugged the app by saying that if you had the app, you could watch Orton and Brian watching the match. Okay, two things.
First off, we've seen this.
Two things.
Sucked!
Three things. Number one, you'll recall that the last time we had seen Orton and Brian, Orton was RKOing him. Now they are watching TV together. They're hanging out. Now, I watched Raw first before watching SmackDown, so this didn't seem odd to me at the time. But I went back over all this. I realized this makes no sense. That's number one. Number two, as noted, why would you download an app to watch people watching TV? This is stupid.
Because you so love WWE programming, you just can't get enough.
Number three, and I guess this is kind of redundant with number two, but it's even more clear. Jerry Lawler outright said that but given the option between watching the match or watching two people watch a match, he would rather watch the match. So,
especially if he was a Cyclops.
There was a lot going on in this segment. So, Kane was going to chokeslam Dean Ambrose. And what do you think happened at that point, Brian?
A DQ?
Kane and Rollins attacked for the DQ.
No.
It's true.
Seriously.
It's true. Brian and Orton ran out. Best buds. They made the save. Cole was trying to talk about how they had put their differences aside to fight a common foe, but you can say the same thing if, like, Brian teamed up with the Shield to fight Orton. Orton's their common foe. Fans could vote on whether they'd rather see Brian wrestle Seth Rollins or Roman Reigns, and Rollins ended up winning the vote by almost exactly 2-1. They showed Orton RKOing Brian on SmackDown, and then Brian and Orton were having an argument backstage, even though we'd already seen them watching TV together and then fighting the Shield together. Now they're having an argument. Kane was making peace. And
can you imagine trying to write this shit?
Kane was fantastic in this segment. He was trying to be the voice of reason, trying to get them to calm down, say, you have to fight the Shield, you can't afford to start fighting each other. Vicky arrived, and to make a long story short, she announced that Orton and Brian were going to get a tag team title match at the pay-per-view. Kane lost his mind here. Kane lost his grip on reality. They get a tag team title shot, he said? That makes no sense. So, Vicky then booked Kane. I'm bad at radio, everyone. Vicky booked Kane against Ambrose for the U.S. title on the show. That made him happy. He gave her a hug. But what Kane was here up until the very end when he got his title match, Kane
was you.
Kind of. Clear close. Kane on this show is what Taz used to be on Impact. The guy who watches the show and points out when things make no sense and gets irritated by it. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yes.
That about covers it.
I like this version of Kane. This is what Kane used to be every week. The guy who watches it and says, well, that makes no sense.
Well, this should be an easy role.
There would be a busy role. There's a lot to do. Miz was wrestling Cody Rhodes. Wade was on commentary. They talked about how the triple threat was not going to be a one-on-one because Fandango's out with a concussion. And they pointed out to Wade that his odds of winning went up, and Wade snapped, I was going to win anyway!
Yes!
That is the best answer you could possibly give.
Because there are no... Never mind.
So, Miz, one of
the... Odds are not 33% in a three-way. Okay?
Right.
They're just not. There are no odds in a three-way. Maybe you have a 100% chance to win.
You could.
If it's Kane versus three fans, he does not have a 25% chance of winning. He has a 100% chance of winning. Same if it's Kane versus 50 fans. He'll beat every one of them. He does not have a 1 in 50 chance. Same, by the way, with the Royal Rumble. Zack Ryder does not have a 1 in 30 chance of winning. He has a 0 in a million chance of winning.
So Miz won with a figure four.
Don't make me have a heart attack on my birthday.
I forgot who was wrestling. Oh, Cody.
Cody.
Miz beat Cody with a figure four. He was selling his leg, so Wade moved in to kill him. But before he could, Heyman interrupted from the ramp. He announced that the triple threat was back on, and the third man would be none other than Curtis Axel. This felt like it was literally booked during this match, considering they had just announced it would be a one-on-one 2 minutes earlier. And Axel came out, and he vowed to win the title on Sunday, and he did this in as boring a manner as possible. They announced Mark Henry's return for next week and aired the best video I've seen all time all my life. It was Mark Henry killing men, pulling trucks, slamming giants, destroying buildings, doing a roar spot, and talking shit about how great he was. This ended. I immediately rewound to watch it again. A fantastic video this was.
Pretty sure he's coming back as a babyface.
He's a babyface to me anyway. He's already my hero. They spent about 5 minutes recapping the angle to open the show. Steph confronted Vince about it and said, "Dad, you hurt Paul's pride." May have called him Hunter, but the point is... Paul! Did she say Paul?
It's always Paul.
Yeah. "You hurt his pride." And Vince stopped, and he looked at her and he said, "Yeah." That was great. He said it was always about business first. It was never about family. He refused to meet with Hunter. Chris Jericho wrestled Big E Langston. First, he got a promo about fighting Punk. He really had nothing to say. It was pretty boring. Dolph Ziggler interrupted. He announced, I guess, that he was fighting Alberto at the pay-per-view. Then Jericho made fun of him for having nothing to say and cutting a boring promo. I found that quite ironic this evening. And he challenged Dolph to a match and said, Dolph said, "You want a match? Fine, you can wrestle Big E." Big E was cool with that. So Chris Jericho's gimmick is that he is the best match in every show.
Apparently the Big E babyface turn is out the window again.
Of course. It totally dropped it.
Back being buddies.
Yeah. So, Jericho's gimmick is he's the best match in every show. So this was, of course, Big E's best match in WWE. Everything's going fine. Dolph interferes to cut Jericho off, and Big E's about to hit his move and win when Alberto runs down and he hits Dolph, and this distracts Big E, and Jericho hits a codebreaker and pins him. So Jericho wins because he's a pay-per-view match. Big E loses because he doesn't, and it also built to Del Rio versus Dolph. So that was pretty much perfect. And then we had some great Chris Jericho moments, a few of them. He went over to the announcer's desk. He celebrated his win by putting on JBL's cowboy hat. Just because. And then he disappeared. The announcers began to talk about whatever else is going to happen on the show. And as they're speaking, Jericho just walks into the camera frame. He leans over to Lawler, and I didn't quite hear what he said, but it was something about how I got you back for what happened last week.
I couldn't figure out what the hell he said.
It was some
Lawler laughed.
Yeah, Lawler laughed and said, like, "I know you did," or something. That was it. But it was, I know we say this every week, but it's true every week. "I don't give a fuck, Chris Jericho is so awesome."
Oh, yeah. It's the way it works.
Yes. But we've said it before about a lot of people, but he may be the best example.
Someday I'm going to write a book just called
"I Don't Give a Fuck.
Stop Caring, Get Better."
Yes. Wrestling in 2013.
Life.
Actually, good point, yeah. Sin Cara versus Antonio Cesaro. Zeb Coulter was on commentary, outright calling Sin Cara an illegal alien. He was fine with Antonio this week. I remember one time he attacked Wade verbally for being a dirty foreigner. Antonio is the best guy to wrestle Sin Cara. I know I say that every time they wrestle, but it's still true. So Zeb's doing his anti-foreigner shtick, and Cole attacks him for making most of his money in Puerto Rico, which he said, that's a foreign country. And Zeb and JBL destroyed Michael Cole for that, because it's not true. Finally, Cesaro hit a spinning chin lock, which was awesome. He just grabbed Sin Cara by the head and waved him around, and he hit the neutralizer and won. That was great. New Wyatt family video. That was great. We'll talk more about them in NXT, but suffice to say, Bray Wyatt was the best part of the show. Vicky Guerrero and Brad Maddox plugged the Hardee's Burger that is sponsoring their show. For some reason, it's the same restaurant. They call it Hardee's in most of the country. It's Carl's Jr. in this area, if you can find them. There's not very many, but...
I did not know that.
No, it's true.
Should have known you'd know.
You should have. I know my food. My fast, cheap, greasy food. So, Vince was upset. Vince walked in, and he was upset with Vicky.
Oh, God, this segment.
Because she had booked Cena versus Ryback in a face-to-face segment. That risked them fighting, and that risked that one of them would be hurt and they would lose their pay-per-view main event. Vicky said, I'll cancel the segment. And Vince said, no, you can't do that because you promised. I laughed so hard. And that was before knowing that on SmackDown, they had promised Triple H and Curtis Axel and then given us what we got. So Brad suggested they send out all the lumberjacks to keep them separate and promote the pay-per-view match, and Vince thought that was a good idea. Randy Orton had a boring match with Roman Reigns. Announcers were blatantly making jokes to entertain themselves because they were bored. Shield tried to interfere, but Brian and Orton fought them off, and then... Oh, Brian's offense, by the way, and he had the biggest reaction in the match, in a match he was not in. Now, technically, it was not a DQ.
It was a no contest.
It was a no contest. Does that, how did you react? Was that still annoying to you?
I tolerated it because they had to find a way to not do a DQ. And I thought they did a clever job based on the rules of wrestling. But for the love of God. Enough.
So, Seth Rollins versus Daniel Bryan. Last week, we talked about whether or not Bryan should shave his beard. And this week, I was looking at him, and he had a big, long, scraggly beard, and his hair was kind of unkempt and unwashed, and I realized he looked exactly like Zach Galifianakis in The Hangover. I know you're not seeing these movies, Brian, but Zach Galifianakis is a total clown in The Hangover.
Yeah,
Daniel Bryan needs to get cleaned up immediately. I'm now on the shave the beard bandwagon, and cut his hair, too. Match is great. It was all Daniel Bryan tying up Seth Rollins in wacky submission holds you never see in WWE from anyone else, mainly because they're not flexible enough to get into them and don't know how to apply them safely. Crowd was into it sporadically. They mostly just wanted to chant yes. They would have been fine with Bryan just kicking in for 10 straight minutes. But they did get in all the big spots. They did get a this is awesome chant. And Reigns tried to interfere. Orton cut him off. And then Bryan pinned him with a small package. Not a DQ.
A pin.
Yes.
LA have no problem doing pins in single matches.
Yeah. Well, they did the one before. And they did in the Roman Reigns match. Shield had three singles matches in the show. Only one of them ended in a pin.
That's true. But they'll have the guy's pin.
Yeah. So Orton hit Rollins with an RKO afterwards. And Orton and Bryan were like tense friends. It had a stare down of cooperation. They aired the Triple H angle again. I know it's a 3-hour show. I know not everyone watches all 3 hours, but come on. With clips of WWE at a Special Olympics event, the two male wrestlers they sent were Big Scary Giants, The Big Show, and Mark Henry.
Yeah.
Now, I realize in real life, they're not scary. They're well-spoken, very nice men who are fun to be around. And they look great in suits in photographs next to Special Olympics people and stuff. But it just makes me laugh that every time we see The Big Show, he is a big, scary giant who's punching people in the face and knocking them out. And then out in the real world, he's just a big, friendly guy. Then we had the Caitlyn segment. She was in the ring, acting very nervous. I guess she's supposed to be acting nervous. It really just came off like she was an awkward geek with no charisma. She called out her secret admirer, and out came Big E Langston. He had a bouquet of flowers and the coolest shirt I've ever seen in my life. It was the same shirt he had on the NXT we watched.
You know what's funny is when they first started this, I was told that at the time, this changed like twice, by the way.
Of course it did.
At the time, it was going to be Big E. But when it was going to be Big E originally, he was actually going to be an admirer, which was going to cause tremendous issues between him and AJ and Dolph. Mm-hmm. Plans change. Mark Henry, by the way, was also in the running. Imagine that. Sexual Chocolate was going to return.
That would have been, I would have been okay with that. So what happened was, he gets in the ring with a bouquet, and Caitlin says these exact words in this exact tone. Big E, it's you? Remember what I said earlier about Stephanie McMahon?
Yeah.
Caitlin makes Stephanie look like Meryl Streep at her best. So Big E started to talk about how he was not just a big tough guy. He was a caring person. He cared about Caitlin. Caitlin said, I don't get it. Well,
what's there to get? He admires you in secret.
He wants to bone you. It's not complicated.
Coincidentally, her last name is Bonin.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, it's her last name, Celeste Bonin. I know I mentioned this before.
Huh. So, Big E said that he had always admired her, never knew how to say it, didn't know how to express his feelings, and he kind of slowly and gently hugged her, and then he dipped her like he was going to give her a big dramatic kiss, and then he dropped her to the mat, and no one cared, and AJ came out, and no one cared, and the segment, which was already stupid and horrible, got significantly worse. AJ began to ramble on, making fun of Caitlin. Talked about how she had no friends. She was laying on the dirt. And this is how AJ felt when Caitlin had abandoned her. I don't know where the fuck Big E went. I think he was just embarrassed. Just got out of the segment as quickly as he could. And AJ talked about messing with Caitlin's head. Talked about trailer parks and junk food. And eventually they started brawling. That sucked.
I was told in advance this was a good segment. So I was watching it just going,
Did AJ tell you that?
The segment is...
There are only two people that can imagine who thought this was good, and that's AJ and Caitlin. Yeah. Big E knew it sucked because he left.
He didn't leave quick enough.
Thankfully, they saved the show by airing a second Wyatt Family video, and it was not just a repeat of the earlier one. It was a brand new one. Damian Sandow versus Truth. For the second time in like a month, they took Jerry Lawler, a man who had a heart attack and died on TV last year, and put big, greasy fast food in front of him.
Well, his theory that he was killed by Dolph Ziggler now wasn't his diet.
Had nothing to do with bacon cheeseburgers?
No, it was Dolph dropping elbows on him repeatedly. Upset his electromagnetism rhythm in his heart or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know if he thinks that's the only reason, but he certainly thinks that that's...
I think, I'm guessing, I'm not a doctor, nor am I a heart attack victim, but I'm guessing that if you've had heart attacks, you shouldn't eat bacon cheeseburgers.
I don't know. You'd have to ask his doctor. I mean, his doctor cleared him to wrestle and said, it is possible that Dolph Ziggler's repeated elbow drops stopped your heart.
So Damian squashed Truth. It was not a very good squash. It was pretty boring. I guess they don't want him to use the neck breaker anymore because he won with Matt Hardy's side effect, which Michael Cole immediately knew the name of. It's the silencer. And Sheamus came out and said he was going to kick Damian's head off. Stephanie was backstage. She grabbed one geek, ordered him to go get Vince and send Vince to her office.
Holy fuck.
She walked down the hallway, got another geek, said, you need to go find Hunter and send him to my office. And that led to the big confrontation. I didn't even know how to...
Apparently I'm the only one in the entire world that understood this. Hunter and Vince are upset with each other.
Yeah.
But they're family.
Okay.
So they have to, I mean, Vince still has to get in the pool with the grandkids.
Yeah.
But they're upset with each other, so there is a great deal of unspoken and spoken tension. And so Vince said, listen, just to show I'm the bigger man in all this, I will give you your match with Curtis Axel next week. But now that Vince okayed that match, Hunter now no longer wanted the match. Even though he did want the match, Now that Vince wanted the match, he didn't want the match.
Okay.
So then when Vince really wanted the match, Hunter insisted, no, I really do not want this match. The point is, everybody, this ain't the end of this. And it's only going to get worse. Because it's summertime, which means that Hunter and Steph, their kids are out of school. So the kids can now go on the road. And apparently the USA Network, they're huge fans of the McMahon family drama. And they believe there's not been enough on TV of late. I'm not making this up. So you are going to see McMahon family drama probably all summer long. It's just beginning.
All I know is by the end of the segment, I didn't know what Vince wanted. I had no idea what Hunter wanted. I didn't know if Hunter is wrestling Axel next week or not.
It's your typical argument. Two people get in a big argument, they keep arguing, and pretty soon they're only arguing each other, and they can't even remember what their original argument was all about. They just want to argue whatever the other person says.
So basically, they're the new Daniel Bryan and Kane.
Yes.
Only not nearly as good at it.
Yes.
Yeah. Segment sucked, everyone. It was terrible. Speaking of terrible segments, boy, Raw fell off a cliff, didn't it? Cena and Ryback had their face-to-face segment. All the Lumberjacks were out there. And Ryback came out and he refused to get in the ring. He just did his talking on the stage. So these two big, giant, jacked-up, chiseled, scary men who are fighting each other in three stages of hell in 7 days, they took turns whining and crying about missed opportunities and title shots, and they were both bad actors reciting bad dialogue.
And verbal debate!
On and on and on and on about how everything would end at the pay-per-view. And just because I want it to end is not necessarily the same thing as saying I will pay to see it end. Ryback had one of those lines that I'm sure the writers thought was very clever when he said, I'm going to take your spot. And eventually they started fighting. And the heel Lumberjacks attacked Cena. The babyface Lumberjacks attacked Ryback. And they had a battle royal. And that sucked. And that was Raw. Wasn't a bad show until the last 20 minutes or so.
Last 20 minutes threw this show off a cliff. Yeah. It's no good. It was better than NXT. What's better than NXT? Let's proceed.
NXT opened with Jim Ross coming out to host the contract signing between Bo Dallas and Big E Langston.
Hold that thought. Bo Dallas, you say?
Bo Dallas, yes.
Bo Dallas is in a championship match on NXT.
Yeah, he's the number one contender.
Bo Dallas. All right, listen. I'm going to admit, everybody, I don't watch NXT every single week. It's probably going to change. But at this moment, I don't watch NXT every single week. So can someone please explain to me this smiling gimmick with Bo Dallas? Because I know someone's going to say that, like, it's his gimmick, but Bo Dallas strikes me as a guy who just cannot keep a poker face.
Yeah.
He's trying to do his speech, and the fans are chanting, I believe, no mo Bo. Is that what they said?
I thought it was go home Bo.
Go home
which
Bo.
Which is not as funny.
No mo Bo, no whatever it is. Bo. But he could not keep a straight face through this. And he was giggling as he is supposed to be cutting a serious promo. Now listen, if you want to tell me that I'm an idiot and this is all a Bo Dallas gimmick, and in fact he's great, okay, that's fine to tell me that. But I don't take a thing Bo Dallas seriously says. I don't take a thing Bo Dallas says seriously. Did I get that right?
Yeah.
When he's smiling through the whole thing. So if it's a gimmick, the gimmick sucks. And if it's not a gimmick, what the hell
sucks.
Are you laughing about all the time?
So the good news is eventually Bo stopped talking and Big E began to speak and Big E cut an excellent promo. Big E was awesome here. He addressed Bo point by point by point and he began each of his points by saying, Bo, we don't like, he said, Bo, you're an excellent contender. Bo, you won a battle royal and defeated 18 men to get the shot. Then he started running Bo down about how he was not qualified. Bo, you haven't done what I've done. Bo, you haven't beaten who I've beaten. And finally, he just says, Bo, you're a geek. That was his exact words.
Yeah. Bo, you're a geek.
You're a geek. So.
Giant fan of Big E Langston.
Big E Langston is fantastic.
Biggie Langston's only been in the business like 3 years. It's amazing.
So, yeah, that's the title shot for next week. And spoiler alert, Biggie's not in NXT anymore. Corey Graves cut a promo on Bray Wyatt. Corey Graves, he struck me as like a, it may just be the physical resemblance, but it struck me as a vastly more charismatic Randy Orton. Not saying much, but he had the same delivery and he looks like the same guy, but he's just better at it.
Who are we talking about? Corey Graves?
Yeah.
We had a completely different.
All right.
Corey Graves came off to me as a low rent CM Punk clone. The kind of guy where I looked at him and I was like, dude, there's already a CM Punk. They don't need another one, especially one that's not as good.
That's the key.
So, like, cut the hair. You probably can't cover up the tats, but I just, I don't know. I just watched it and I'm sure he's a nice guy, but looking at this from the perspective of who is going to be brought up and is going to become a star and who is not, Corey Graves is going to got to be some big changes before they call him up, because I don't know. His mannerisms and the haircut, it looks like CM Punk before he cut his hair off, when he just slicked it back. I mean, same haircut, tats everywhere, skinny, same delivery. I mean, I hate to say low rent, but that's what it is in wrestling. A low rent CM Punk. We don't need another one. And that's all I could think. And I know there's some people that are like completely infatuated with Renee Young, but also needs a lot of work. She sounds like a CNN anchor who's covering like a funeral. That's the best praise I can give. Cute, but CNN anchor. And apparently, for those of you that are huge fans, I hate to break the news to you, but I believe that she has been removed from the WWE pre- and post-game pay-per-view show. I believe that was made official yesterday. Could change. She may still end up there, but I believe she's off the pre- and post-show. So, I'm sorry.
Tamina wrestled Paige in the first match for the NXT Women's Title tournament. It was not very good. It was not any worse than a dozen or more hundreds, really, of women's matches we've seen in WWE. And Tamina went for a splash, and Paige got the knees up and hit her with her move and won.
I like Paige. Lovely lass, good worker. Worked rings around Tamina Snuka.
Yeah, her wrestling is totally fine. She doesn't have presence, stage presence, screen presence, whatever you want to call it, but she came out for her entrance, and she's got her music, and there's fans that like her and are into her, but she just stands there. She stands there for a minute, and then she goes to the ring, and some people can pull that off, and she's not one of them.
She's better than Brad Maddox.
Oh, God.
Brad Maddox in commentary. I guess it has its low-rate indie charm.
There were some points on this show where Brad Maddox did make me laugh. Most of the time, I'm not sure if most of the time is right, but a large chunk of the time, it sounded like he was doing a parody of a wrestling announcer. Like he was playing a wrestling announcer and he skit on Saturday Night Live about pro wrestling and how much it sucks. Doing all the cliches, openly talking about how he's pretending to be excited about something when he really, really wasn't. And then a lot of the time, he's just making random noises. Just, oh! Repeatedly.
That sounded exactly like Brad Maddox.
Thank you. That's not good, though. Yeah, Brad Maddox was really, 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 really bad. It's one of those things where he's...
I know I'm going to hear that his gimmick is that he's bad. Okay, that's a shitty gimmick to have.
That's a horrible gimmick. Hey.
Your gimmick should not be that you suck.
But it's more than his gimmick is bad. It was like his gimmick was to point out how bad everything else is. Like, you kind of realize...
That works when you're good and everything else is bad.
Yeah.
But when you're worse than everything else, it doesn't work.
It's like, he made it seem like what you were watching was two dudes in their underwear pretending to fight. You thought, I am watching two dudes in their underwear pretending to fight. Why am I watching this? This is silly. Cassius Ohno cut a promo backstage. The two things I got out of this were, one, he was wearing a Misawa shirt, And two, he opened this promo by quoting LL Cool J. Destruction, terror, and mayhem. We had a Leo Kruger highlight video. His accent is way too thick for me to understand. It was very weird. A lot of close-ups. And it ended, and you said, quote, what the fuck?
I don't recall this.
Colin Cassidy wrestled Mason Ryan.
I'll read my notes.
You have notes? All right.
I always have notes. My notes for this match read, and I quote, acceptable.
It was exciting. I'll be honest. I needed it.
That's it.
I will read my notes, which is actually even less detailed than that. My notes read, quote, Mason has 1980s long hair now. That's all. I got nothing to say about the match or even Mason won. It was a squash. That's right.
He's enormous.
He is cartoonishly large. I'm not sure who is more silly big, him or Rob Terry. But neither of them actually look like human beings. They look like CGI characters walking around the ring. Talked about Brad Maddox. We had a Sami Zayn promo. It is funny how comfortable he is in the mic, considering he never spoke for all those years.
Well, he spoke.
Well, I'm...
It's possible he was a very charismatic human being.
He never spoke in a wrestling ring.
That's true.
Christ. So, Antonio Cesaro arrived. He was walking around the backstage area in sunglasses, a beret, and what Sami Zayn called a man purse. And they talked about Sami Zayn's win over him and how Antonio had cheap-shotted him, and they challenged each other to a match, and Antonio slapped him, and Sami took him down. They had a brawl and got separated.
There are people who were shocked when they heard Kamala speak for the first time, Vinny. So I think it's important to note that, in fact, Generico did speak.
See.
During the time that he portrayed a masked luchador for years in professional wrestling. I saw him speak in person.
Yeah.
And actually, if I recall, he was among the more charismatic people at a table full of indie wrestlers.
Oh, that's totally true.
Yeah.
But,
I wish that Antonio Cesaro would wear the outfit he wore here on every show.
I wish you would wear that outfit. I may start wearing that outfit.
If I could find an outfit like that, I'd try and pull it off for my 40th birthday.
I do not think I would look the same as Antonio Cesaro did in this outfit, I won't lie.
You wouldn't, at all.
In any way. He's taller than me, too, so that's out the window. Alex Riley versus Conor O'Brien. We've talked before, okay, on its own, just on its own merits, Conor O'Brien is a horrible name for a pro wrestler. But for this guy in particular, he's got like the top knot haircut and he's a big 6.5 foot tall over muscled dude in a big like medieval robe. And he's standing there in his entrance with the strobe lights and the heavy metal music or the orchestral music like the bad guy in a fantasy movie. And his name's Connor.
Connor O'Brien.
Connor O'Brien. That is absolutely terrible. He squashed Alex Riley quickly and won. And then we have our main event, Cassius Ohno and Corey Graves versus the Wyatt family. Bray Wyatt, everyone. The promo he cut before this match. And really, it's not even that he said anything particularly profound. It was just how awesome he was, talking about how it was time to reintroduce himself and how he was the eater of worlds and this was his family and they were going to destroy people. And it was fantastic. It was fantastic. So we had the match and it was a long NXT tag match.
Rowan is big.
Eric Rowan is big.
I'll give him that. He is a big man.
He is a big man. He visually fits the gimmick very well.
Problem with this match is the best worker was not in the match. He was sitting in a rocking chair. And you had two guys that can work, Cassius Ohno and
Luke Harper.
I always call him Brody Lee. And then you had two guys that, oh boy, Eric Rowan is not awful. He's big. He's just like an NXT big guy. You know, he's not somebody that I'm like, oh my God, when this guy's on Raw, man, watch out.
If he was not part of the Wyatt family, there he would not be on Raw.
No, of course not. And Corey Graves is very, very green. So
only he's not.
you put all that stuff together.
Looks like if he's doing this for a long time.
I know. I sometimes that happens, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll pick it up quick from here.
Okay.
It's the best I can say. It was a match.
It was a match. It was...
He overshot his target doing a dive at the end, Graves.
Oh, my God, that landing.
Tried to wipe out Eater of Worlds and... He wouldn't even have hit the Earth if he would have jumped out of the fucking space station.
Like when Truth does his splits, but he didn't. You know, he's standing in the ring. He drops down to basically almost one knee. He just does a little split with it. That's how Corey Graves landed on this dive, coming over the ropes, coming down on the floor. I thought his groin was gone.
You never saw a man leap to try and catch a guy as
Bray Wyatt did his all he could.
Yeah,
to no avail.
What can you do?
That was NXT, everybody.
Wyatt family won.
They did.
Yep. Cash Sono got pinned with a lariat after all of this schmozzing went on.
Schmozzing.
Wyatt hit him with a loaded forearm, I presume, to the back of the head, and then that was that. So, yeah, it was a show, everybody. It was a show. It was a show. Actually, the last show, let's be fair, the last NXT I watched was actually very good because there were two...
That's Generico.
Yeah, two Generico matches, one of which was with Antonio Cesaro. That was actually a great show. So we're at about one out of six I've seen that have been good shows. So yeah, we'll see how it goes. See how it goes next time. All right, enough of this. Enough of this jibber jabber. It is time to open my gift from Senior High Ali. Here we go. Commentary, Vinny.
Brian has a large box here. I'm going to say it's probably close to a foot tall, 2 feet wide, maybe a foot and a half deep.
Overnight delivery.
Overnight delivery. Brian has chosen to put this directly behind his monitor so I can't actually see anything.
God damn it.
Let's see if I can move. Hang on.
Hold on, I'll move.
You have this whole part of the room, since you're not talking anyway. All right, he's tearing it open with his bare hands. Hours of jiu-jitsu have raised his grip to superhuman strength.
Grip of death.
Yeah. We went to, on Sunday, we went to Brazilian Steakhouse for Brian's birthday meal.
Astonishing how loud you are.
It was me, Brian, and a bunch of his jiu-jitsu students. Grand time was had by all. We ate a lot of steak.
Sure did.
I also enjoyed the chicken legs they had. Very well done. Very tender. Good stuff. Brian's students got him a gift. I got him a gift as well. It was a shot glass. So he's Brian's bar. And then one of his students actually got him, I believe, some tequila. Mm-hmm. So that worked out well. They also got him...
Sweating.
As Brian mentions, he's sweating. I will point out his students actually got him pit stick.
One.
Well, one of his students. That's true.
One former student
who Brian probably choked to death today.
Here we go.
All right. He finally got it open. There's a note.
Happy birthday, sorry, had to have a piece.
I don't know if that came over the microphone, but said happy birthday, sorry, I had to have a piece.
Oh my God.
They've mailed Brian a Sara Lee chocolate layer cake.
What is it, already baked?
I hope there's not actually a cake in there. I would like to think that they put something else in the cake box. Because I'm pretty sure that's supposed to be kept frozen.
Oh my God. A cake in there.
There's a cake in there.
A live cake!
There is a... It's a cake. Oh, they mailed him a cake. Hey, Brian, don't eat that.
What are you talking about? Don't eat it? We're going to have a piece right now.
Can you do this? Can you eat a cake? This is not like it's in a cooler.
I mean, I think you can eat it.
Sir, say, does it say...
Collar before thawing.
Keep frozen, it says. It's not been frozen in days.
Can I eat it?
Brian really wants to eat his cake, everyone.
I mean, I presume, like, if once you unfreeze it, you should be able to eat it, right?
Brian's theory is that so once it's unfrozen, you can eat it.
I don't see why not. I mean, besides the obvious.
It has been smashed in. The top of the box has destroyed the cake. The cake is stuck to the top of the box, so when Brian ripped the box apart, it tore the cake apart as well.
Unfrozen.
Does it say on there when it was mailed?
Hold on. Store frozen until ready to use.
He's reading the instructions on the cake now.
Thaw only desired serving.
It does smell good, I won't lie. Brian's cats are crying. They apparently can smell the death cake.
Okay, let's see. Thaw whole cake. Remove from freezer, slide cake from carton, remove all parchment from frozen cake, thaw whole cake in closed carton or under dome refrigerator 7 to 8 hours or overnight.
Well, that's handled.
So I presume it's okay. It was mailed overnight.
It was mailed overnight, that is true.
Well.
Is there anything else in the box?
No, it's just a cake. I think we're going to go eat it.
Brian's going to eat his cake. Are you eat it on the air?
I can. I'll go get plates.
Right. You want me to ad lib? Yeah, you can hit pause on this.
Nope. Talk for a while.
Sara Lee, chocolate layer cake pre-cut. He read the instructions. I'm not going to repeat it for you. See if there's anything interesting on the back of the box for me to read here. Okay, screw that. The back of the box is blank. All right. Is it safe to eat mailed cake? Recipe for Let Them Eat Cake. Mailing food gifts to military friends. Mailing cake on wedding form. Let's see what this says. Couple's first anniversary is coming up in 3 weeks. I have their top cake tier in my freezer. Back in June when they moved, they didn't take it with them because it just wasn't practical and because we thought that someone from his family or ours would be visiting them for their anniversary. I'm trying to figure out how to mail the cake to them so they can have it on their anniversary. Any suggestions?
I think it's fine, dude. I think it's fine.
There is no good way to mail a year-old cake and have it still be edible when received.
Any year old,
that's true. You might carefully wrap the frozen cake in aluminum foil and plastic wrap, then place it in a well-padded box and send it for overnight delivery. This all happened.
Yeah, this is what happened.
However, if it is very warm where they live, or no one is home to receive the cake when it is delivered, it could still be a disaster when received.
Well, it's a disaster, but, it's all right.
Okay, you know what? Now that I can actually see the cake,
it's fine.
We'll be fine. This cake is
it's a Hershey's cake.
It's a Hostess product. So you could leave a Twinkie out in your car for 6 weeks and eat it, you'd be fine. Same thing with this cake. Actually, looking at the cake, I'm not concerned at all.
Mm. All right,
let's see you. How do you get a fork? All right, everyone. We're now going to eat cake on the air. Happy birthday, Brian.
This, by the way, is everyone's pet peeve on the Christmas show.
Eating?
When I eat into the mic. So I'm going to move the mic away and eat. Not directly to the mic.
Yes.
You know what this is?
Good?
Well, specifically, I mentioned Twinkies. There was another Hostess product called Choco Bliss. It was exactly like this cake.
That is a good cake. That is a good cake.
I'm so happy you talked me into eating this.
I remember one year someone sent me chocolate chip cookies overnight. But this takes the cake, so to speak.
You get to the back part where there's all the chocolate chips? Mm-mm. Yeah, the back part. Eat that.
So it's my birthday, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 28.
Actually, you look 7.
And my birthday is all of June. So you know the drill by now. P.O. Box 426, Woodinville, Washington, 98072.
Send cake.
Apparently you can send cake through the mail.
If you overnight it.
Yeah, make sure you overnight it and let me know. I don't go to the post office every day. This apparently got sent to the house. Got here this morning. But I will say, if I get horribly sick, I'm going to auction off Hialeah's ass at the thingamajigger.
Oh. There will be cake in Vegas too, I assume.
Yeah, we got a... Yeah! We got a lot of good stuff at the Empire Dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Chicken, you know?
If you're hanging out with me, I know at some point, Dazza is very, very excited about the idea of eating a deep-fried Twinkie.
Oh, you know what? Keep talking.
I'm going to keep eating. It's cake. I'm probably just documenting the cake box. Should I give you in this too? Or?
This makes it even better.
Sorry about the silence, everyone. I had to pose for a photo.
That's right.
Take one of me.
Brian is now doing what the kids call a selfie.
That's right.
Flash. I won't lie. I'm not going to eat the entire thing. But yep. Highlight, you're the man. My birthday is October 10th.
There. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tweet those.
Good call.
All right, everybody. Well, that's it. That's all there is to hear tonight.
How many people do you think will quit over the last 10 minutes?
No, nobody. I hope. If they quit, they can just sign up as a birthday gift for me. All right, everybody. We're going to wrap it up. Obviously, thanks to you for listening. And tomorrow, Lance Storm. What's tomorrow? Wednesday?
Yes.
I think Lance Storm is on the show tomorrow. Yes, Lance Storm will be on the show tomorrow.
I bet he won't have cake.
And Wrestling Observer Radio as well. New Figure 4 is going to be up. New Wrestling Observer as well. And a lot of stuff. So, yeah, tons of stuff coming up. Still digesting. Tons of stuff coming up, everybody. And another month to celebrate my birthday. So, so get crack-a-lackin', everybody. I have no shame. Thanks, of course, for listening. And we shall talk to you again after a while.
Bye.